Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the invocation of God in the Republican primaries, where both the winners and losers in Iowa made election night speeches attributing America's freedom and greatness to God and their political purpose, guidance, and fortunes to the will of God. Frederick Clarkson, the author of Eternal Hostility, The Struggle Between Theocracy and Democracy, joins us to discuss the threats posed by Romney and Santorum to the separation of church and state that President Kennedy stated as an absolute in the 1960 campaign. Then we'll look into the growing opposition in Russia to Putin's prolonged rule as demonstrations against the regime and the electoral fraud carried out by the ruling United Russia Party are growing ahead of the March 2012 presidential elections. Daniel Treisman, the author of The Return, Russia's Journey from Gorbachev to Medvedev, joins us to shed light on an enigmatic country that emerged 20 years ago from the collapse of the Soviet Union as an unruly democracy that Putin has since transformed into an authoritarian capitalist state. Then finally, we will try to determine what is in the National Defense Authorization Act President Obama recently signed into law, accompanied by a signing statement. With civil libertarians on one side convinced it opens the door to an American police state, and on the other side, an overwhelming majority of senators and congressmen who signed it, insisting it protects the rights of American citizens and legal residents, we'll examine the bill's contents with Dahlia Lithwick, a contributing editor at Newsweek and a senior editor and legal correspondent at Slate, where she specializes in covering the Supreme Court and judicial issues. Joining us now is Frederick Clarkson, the author of the book Eternal Hostility, The Struggle Between Theocracy and Democracy, and editor of Dispatches from the Religious Left, The Future of Faith and Politics in America. He is the founder of the interactive group blog Talk to Action. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frederick Clarkson.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Ian.
And it does strike me as a little odd that back in 1960, John F. Kennedy was, of course, being the first or about to be the first Catholic ever elected president in the United States. Al Smith had tried earlier and been met with a lot of anti-Catholic bigotry. John F. Kennedy made this famous speech to the Greater Houston Ministerial Association, where he laid down as a marker saying that I believe in America where the separation of church and state is absolute. And you would think that Mitt Romney would, being a Mormon and open to similar religious bigotry that Catholics were back then, would want to emulate the president, but he's gone in the opposite direction.
Well, he's, in his inevitable way, trying to have it both ways. Back in 2007, when he was thinking about running for president, he needed to deal with the Mormon issue the way that Kennedy dealt with the Catholic issue. So he gave a Kennedy-esque address at the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library, introduced by the former president. And he tried to set himself within the American tradition of religious liberty and to diffuse the issues of anti-Mormonism, much the way that Kennedy tried to diffuse anti-Catholicism. And he tried to set himself in the tradition of separation of church and state, too. But then the other shoe dropped. And that's where he began to say, but people have taken the idea too far. And he complained about a growing secularization of American public life, and he basically blamed it on Kennedy's interpretation of separation of church and state.
Well, last night in his concession speech, not a concession speech, but I was thinking of Bachman in her concession speech where she invoked God and that she ran because of God. He was both her inspiration and guidance, and he chose her to run. I believe also Rick Perry has said God chose him to run. So we can get into the mystery of why God has been choosing these losers lately. But in terms of the winners, Santorum and Romney spoke at length about God. I don't know whether he appealing to the religious right there? They have 60% of the vote. He managed to eke out, Santorum got 34% of the religious right's vote in Iowa. And I'm not sure where, I'm looking here for the statistics where Romney came in, but he got considerably less. So what did you make of yeah, he got 14%, Romney.
Well, I didn't hear his remarks, but I'm not surprised. The other part of his speech, the intention of his speech in Texas, was that he needed to appeal to the religious right. It's part of the Republican Party base, and he just has no choice. But he was in a dilemma. Much of conservative Christianity has been taught in churches, in books, overtly, that Mormonism is a dangerous heretical cult. And they use words and phrases like that. It's taught. And for people to deprogram themselves out of that thinking is a pretty steep climb for a presidential candidate. So he was throwing out dog whistle politics. This attack on creeping secularization was a way of appealing to Christian nationalists who agree, yeah, secularization is the problem. You know, people are driving religion out of public life. So he's throwing appeals out there in what ways that he can, but it just isn't working that well for him.
Well, the problem with him, I think, is that he's not authentic. I think that's hardly any news. But I was sort of watching him for the first time sort of intently last night, and he really isn't inauthentic. At least he appeared that way to me. But Santorum is authentically religious, perhaps yes. Zealously so.
Well, very much so. And his problem was different. He also went to Texas last year and gave a Kennedy-esque speech in order to say where he stands in a relationship to separation church and state. He took a different tack than Romney. And first, Santorum has positioned himself as the anti-Kennedy. He has gone all over the country denouncing John F. Kennedy for the absolute attack on the absolute separation church and state, and saying it's done great damage to the country and it's promoted secularization. And that's not what Catholicism is about, and it's not what the Founding Fathers intended. So he's had to define himself as a different kind of Catholic and try to discredit John Kennedy's approach along the way.
Well, apparently the conservative Catholic group, of which they claim a membership of 5 million, are going to back him. He is, as we speak, apparently a group of powerful evangelicals meeting at a Texas ranch. That is Dobson of Focus on the Family, the Reverend Wildman, and Gary Bauer, who ran as for president on the religious right tickets a few years back, right? Yeah. They're all meeting down there to figure out ways to stop Romney. So how do you see this battle of neo-theocrat versus fully-fledged theocrat? In other words, Romney on the one hand pandering to the religious right and Santorum being pretty much their spear carrier at this point.
Well, we see this play out just in election after election. Last time around, there was a meeting of the secretive Council for National Policy, a conservative networking group. And one of the leaders of one of the creators of the religious right, Paul Wehrick, now deceased, was lamenting that he had supported Mitt Romney. And he thought that the religious right and movement conservatives had really missed the boat in not rallying around Mike Huckabee, who he belatedly felt was the real deal. And I think that they see Mitt Romney the way that you do. And that is that he's inauthentic. He'll say anything that he needs to do to get elected, and he's a slick operator. But they also know that he's the establishment candidate. He was endorsed the other day by George H.W. Bush. He's the business wing of the party. And he'll do his best to try to pander to the religious right because he needs to, just as if Rick Santorum gets the nomination, he's going to need to bring in the business wing of the party. It's a constant tension. You see this every time.
So, in other words, you could argue that last night's results, those two wings of the Republican Party were well defined. One by Romney is the business wing, and Santorum is the religious wing. And then, where do you put Ron Paul? He's the libertarian wing?
The libertarians in the party, are an odd fit, because some libertarians are social libertarians, and others are economic libertarians, and others are a funny combination of them. And Ron Paul's in the funny combination category. So he's they're always a poor fit in the Republican Party. You know, last time Ron Paul refused to get behind John McCain, and he endorsed the Chuck Baldwin, who was a candidate of the openly theocratic Constitution Party. Now, previously, Ron Paul, as you know, has been the presidential candidate of the Libertarian Party. So there's tremendous flux in the far right and libertarian sector that can go between libertarians, the Constitution Party, and the Republicans.
Well, Frederick Clarkson, I called you because I was just astounded by how both the winners and the losers of the Iowa primary invoke God almost more in their speeches than they talked about politics. And I was thinking, my God, has America become a theocracy? I mean, here we are. You've got the right-wing Republicans railing against Sharia law, and here we have our own sort of Taliban on the loose, talking about how God created this country. God is responsible for our freedoms and for our greatness. I'm wondering, and at the same time they're talking about bombing Iran, I'm thinking to myself, well, did God create Iran? I mean, what's going on here?
I think the genie's out of the bottle. Increasingly, God and religion are political commodities used by both parties to advance their interests. And they'll just bang that God drum as hard as they can. Even when there are competing visions of God competing religious institutions. The harder you get in a competition for who's got more God on their side and whose God is the right God, the nastier and more confusing it gets. And the deeper these folks get into that, the harder it is to pull back and to get out of it. It becomes a tremendously demagogic affair, as we can see, and it's probably only going to get worse.
But it seems like one of the problems in our political discourse and in our general social discourse in this country, that the two important subjects of religion and politics are not considered polite conversation. And the press won't talk about religion. And when Bachman was going on about how God chose her to run, and it was God's will that she ran, she didn't want to be a politician, she was following God's will. And Perry said the same thing. His wife said that he was chosen by God. So I'm wondering what's going on here. Why doesn't somebody in the press say, well, what's happening with God lately? He's choosing losers.
Well, Herman Cain said that God also asked him to run. And I think we could fairly ask, you know, why God would do that. And maybe it's because, let's say that God did ask them all to run and that those conversations took place. Why would God ask all of them to run? Maybe because he needed to test and see whether they were wise enough to not say anything about it.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe God's mischievous.
On the other hand, maybe God was testing all of us to sort of see, you know, are we really going to believe whatever clown comes along who says that God asked me to run, and kind of wink, 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 God is, I'm God's candidate. But then you have three God's candidates.
Right.
Who could be right? In a monotheist, and they all are monotheists.
Right, I suppose it could be worse. So they talk to God, but when God talks to you, that's when it's really dangerous. That's known as schizophrenia.
Well, but
anyway,
this is the thing, you're right about the press. I mean, the press needs to look at this with a bit more skepticism and ask people these kinds of questions. Herman Cain, how do you account for the fact that God also spoke to Michelle Bachman?
Right. Well, look, I thank you for joining us here. I just needed a reality check here because it seemed like this was a theocratic rather than a democratic race that's going on here for the Republican nomination for president. Again, Frederick Clarkson, author of the book Eternal Hostility, The Struggle Between Theocracy and Democracy, and editor of Dispatches from the Religious Left, The Future of Faith and Politics in America. He's also founder of the interactive group blog Talk to Action. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Putin and the backlash to him in Russia.